officials to nominate people to the watch list based on what is vaguely described as fragmentary information also allows for dead people to be watch listed. So there you go. That's the zombie apocalypse. The U.S. has got your back on that. Well, you have to laugh, don't you? I mean, this sort of thing, I won't say it's unbelievable, but it's certainly appalling, isn't it? Over the years, Scahill and Devereaux write, the Obama and Bush administrations have fiercely resisted disclosing the criteria for placing names on databases, though the guidelines are officially labeled as unclassified. In May, Attorney General Eric Holder even invoked the state secrets privilege to prevent watch listing guidelines from being disclosed in litigation launched by an American who was on the no-fly list. In an affidavit, Holder called them a clear roadmap to the government's terrorist tracking apparatus, adding, the watch listing guidance, although unclassified, contains national security information that, if disclosed, could cause significant harm to national security. So it caused your mind to kind of buzz. Significant harm to national security. The rule book, which The Intercept is publishing in full, was developed behind closed doors by representatives of the nation's intelligence, military, and law enforcement establishment, including the Pentagon, CIA, NSA, and FBI. Emblazoned with the crests of 19 agencies, it offers the most complete and revealing look into the secret history of the government's terrorist policies to date. It reveals a confounding and convoluted system filled with exceptions to its own rules and relies on the elastic concept of reasonable suspicion as standard for determining whether someone is a possible threat. Because the government tracks suspected terrorists as well as known terrorists, individuals can be watchlisted if they are suspected of being a suspected terrorist or if they are suspected of associating with people who are suspected of terrorism activity. Well, I want to say, departing from this text, I want to say after all these years, gosh, how long has it been? I started doing Press Watch in 86 after I went to the University of Texas and ranted against a CIA agent who had been set up as a professor there, just to let people know what the government and their university was up to. And Tomas Ibarra of KAZI Radio came around and asked me to repeat it on the air, and so I started doing this. And all this time, since then, since before then, I've been trying to gestalt this whole phenomenon of secret police in the United States, secret police, covert action, that sort of thing. And I want to take an attitude, I want to take a compassionate attitude and remember that people act like people act. And so what we have here is a powerful imperium that has been, over all these years, increasingly supporting elite groups, as all empires do, by the way. Americans are not exceptional in this. Empires tend to contract, and then eventually at some point they contract within themselves. And so the people who were within the empire, who were within the red line of empire, become outside of it. And more, as we see now with the billionaires, there are only very, very few people who matter. This happened to the Spanish Empire. This happened to the Roman Empire. This happens to empires. People act this way. And so secret police are very much a part of this whole process. And what I was getting around to saying about this is although we can really expect secret police agencies like the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the DEA, all these three-letter terrorists to act this way, we don't have to accept it, nor do we have to pretend that they're some sort of super evil anti-human agency. They're not. This is just people acting the way people act when you give them too much power. And one of the principal ways I've always thought, one of the reasons I do this program, is that when you look the other way, when you accept propaganda, when you don't look into things yourself, when you don't apply what you've found in that way with what you know about human nature, you are more easily manipulable, and the powerful gain more power. Hence, I do Press Watch. I hope that you do your own press watching. And this is the little part of the struggle, a little part of the revolution, the peaceful revolution, I hope to see, that I've chosen to do. You know, with usage, I've gotten better at it. So that's just a little reflection. This is what this is all about. So the number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Elliot is on the air.
Yes. I support a two-state solution and for economic development and reparations, I would have the U.S. pay for a combination expressway and high-speed rail line from Cairo through Gaza and the port through East Jerusalem, elevated across Israel, and on to Amman for economic development. But let me point out a simple fact. There is super violent political chaos right now in Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. And there are fascist states in Algeria and Indonesia, largely responsible for their stability.
Good point
Israel
there, Elliot.
Has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. So it's a little anti-Semitic for Cebu Pacifica types to blame 100% of the political violence and instability and economic problems in Palestine on Israel, when all across the Muslim world, which is a great civilization, they are unable to control their own super violent political chaos.
Okay, well, let me address that. Elliot, in the first place, when you say that 100% of programming on KBOO is pro-Palestinian, that's a bit of a straw man. It certainly is loaded towards pro-Palestinian, because a lot of people like me are trying to do news you're not supposed to know, and we're trying to counter the great weight of the mainstream media. And secondly, Elliot, I would call you out on those people attitude that you seem to be revealing by saying that those people can't control their violence. Hey, aren't we in the United States, which has nuked two cities unlike any other nation that ever existed? Aren't we in the United States that has killed millions of people since the Second World War?
The only time I was ever arrested was for protesting for nuclear disarmament.
I'd say by the numbers.
Session on disarmament in 77.
I'd say by the numbers. If you count who's truly responsible, who has the power, and how many people got killed, white men are the most dangerous people on Earth. Irresponsible, terroristic, savage.
Why can't the Libyans come together in peace and create a new freedom for themselves?
That's an easy answer. History. History and imperialism are why the Libyan people can't come together in peace and create freedom for themselves.
Are we to say that a few decades of colonialism should be responsible for political chaos for the next 1,000 years, if that's how long they can't get their act together?
They can't get their act together after a few decades of colonialism. Well, you're sliding further and further into what we call here at KBOO racism.
No, not at all. I said that Islam is a great civilization.
Come on, say it. Those Schwarzer, they're just Ordnung. They're just ordure, aren't they? Those snakes. I know where you're going with this.
What is going on in Iraq and Syria? I supported a peaceful response of Assad to the protests in Syria. He did not. I support full civil equality for Shia throughout the Middle East.
So what? How about supporting pulling $3 billion a year away from support of Israel?
The Shia president of Iraq deliberately oppressed and impoverished the Sunnis, who were previously in power with a homicidal dictator.
Which is exactly what he was expected to do. Certainly the U.S. knew who he was when they set him up.
What can we do we wasted billions of dollars of American money that should go to the American poor on Iraq. What more could we possibly do?
What more could we possibly do? Well, we could give billions to the Red Crescent, I guess. I mean, the first thing to do would be get out of Iraq, and certainly the U.S. is not out as long as we've got that so-called embassy occupation compound there in Baghdad. Well, Elliot, thank you very much for your call and for your comments. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The world just experienced its hottest June on record. By the way, the heat was driven in large part by the hottest ocean temperatures since record-keeping began more than 130 years ago. This makes this the third warmest start to the year. The global temperature was 1.3 Fahrenheit above the 20th century average in June, according to data released Monday by the National Climatic Data Center. That bests the previous hottest June record set in 1998. By a smidgen. June was the 352nd consecutive month in a row with temperatures that were above the global average. The last cooler in average month was February 1985. The June hot streak extends back even further, with the last cool June coming down in 1976. The lengthy stretch of hot months is being driven primarily by the rise of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, human activities, and departing from the text, that would certainly include wars. Are responsible for much of that rise, and with recent carbon dioxide milestones passed, emissions show no sign of slowing. Now, before I go to the next caller, Adam, I would like to urge you not to follow in the footsteps of many callers before, when we get someone who's expresses opinions that are controversial to what we expect here in the community here at KBOO. Please don't trash them on the air. Express your opinions, by all means. But I've noticed that many times, and, well, I know y'all don't mean to be this way, but that's kind of cheap because, you know, radio's got that one-way quality to it. So once you're on the air, try to be respectful to an individual person. You want to trash some group dynamic, I'm fine with that. Or, you know, as the guidelines say, a public and political person, go ahead and do that, but not the last caller, okay? So, hi, Adam, you're on the air. Hello, Adam. Okay, we lost that call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Micah's on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I was listening to what you were saying earlier about the United States and everything. And recently they had a vote in the Senate to support Israel's actions, their, quote, right to defend themselves. And it was 100-0 in the Senate. All Republicans, all Democrats.
Yeah, and Merkley and Wyden. I used to, you know, I've been happy with a lot of what Merkley and Wyden have done, especially against the police state over the last few years. And I want to frame my comments with that. I mean, thank you, Merkley, and thank you, Wyden, for all those, for the work that they have done against the police state. But I used to call Wyden the senator R, the Republican senator from Israel because of the way he votes. But go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of their work against the police state, I sent Merkley an email about all these facial recognition, high definition facial recognition cameras are putting up all over the town, the city, and major intersections. I don't know if people realize what those cameras are, but they're facial recognition cameras. They have infrared light that has a special frequency that we don't see that the light our faces at nighttime. Who knows what that frequency does to us when it's zapping our face every time we go through these intersections. Jeff Merkley brought me back saying, oh, I don't know anything about it, or I can't do anything about it. You need to contact your local people. Well, they're funded by the Department of Homeland Security. They're a federal program, and he just passed the buck on that. So I don't know how much they really care about the police state, honestly. But also, the Democrats routinely vote for the national defense budget every year. It passes right through, no problem, 75, 80%, whatever support. So that's routinely just, you know, a huge amount of that's going to Israel and defending just the war machine all over the world and all every country. So people that are still claiming them to be and affiliating themselves with the Democratic Party really need to wake up. They really need to look at the facts and dig into this. They keep saying, oh, well, Democrats, they fight for these little social issues here and there. We got to stick with them. But this bottom line is they support murder, murder, and more murder. It's more murder incorporated all the time. Just as much as Republicans. And so we need to talk to our Democrat friends and tell them, look, You can't just keep going with the status quo, the same old, same old. These people support all the worst things that Bush and Cheney ever did, and to sit there and say, oh, well, they're progressive. No, they're not. There's not one single thing that's about them that's progressive. Maybe
in the U.S., I think we can say that we have one party. We have the pro-corporate, pro-billionaire party, and it has two wings, the bad cop and the good cop.
Yeah, I mean, they might be doing something about LGBT rights, Obama's recent rulings. That's nice. That's good. And gay marriage seem to be supporting that.
Right, unless it's a setup for a backlash.
Yeah, there's some little things that the Democrats are doing, and I'll give them that. But the big issues, what are they doing about climate change? What about all the handouts Obama's given the fracking industry, destroying our water aquifers and then escalating emissions? I mean, it's insane. And these Democrats keep supporting Democrats. They've really got to wake up. I've tried to start a third party. It's called the Revolutionary Party through the ballot box, peaceful. Our website is revparty.org.
Revparty.org, okay.
And it's populist. It's trying to get people on both sides. That's another thing Democrats need to do. They need to get more used to talking to people from the Tea Party, talking to people from the Republican Party, and just keep it on big money corruption, big money in Wall Street. Everybody's sick of that. Look at all the Republicans that voted out Eric Cantor. They voted him out because they saw he was hanging out with Wall Street all the time, big banks, big money interests, big corporations. Republicans are sick and tired of corporate rule and our politicians being sold out to the big banks and big oil companies. If you keep it on that issue, everybody's fed up. And everybody's fed up with the mass surveillance, too. 70, 80, 90% of the population does not support this mass surveillance, Republicans and Democrats and Tea Party people. You got it.
Well, I have to agree with what you're saying there.
And you got to keep it on what we have in common instead of all these things that we have in conflicts or that separate us.
Are you going to the rally tonight, Pioneer Square?
Ignore all the religion stuff. Just don't talk about it. Just ignore it. Let people have their little religion when they're out from their own. But these main issues are the root cause of all the issues. I don't know. I might go to that. I'm not sure if I can make it. I have a lot of family obligations.
Okay, I'll wrap up your call by repeating that announcement then. Thank you very much for calling in. That rally is at 6:45, a march with stops along the way at stores targeted for boycott, divestment, and sanctions actions. At 7:45, the march will return to Pioneer Square. So the rally at Pioneer Square starts at 6 p.m. That's the Stop the Israeli Massacre in Gaza rally. So you may want to see that whether you are pro or anti. And there will also be a bike swarm for Palestine and Freedom Ride for Palestine that will circle Pioneer Square. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Time is 9:47 a.m. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Press Watch is the news you're not supposed to know. On that conceit, there is information from Global Research from Michael Chusadovsky on the matter of MH17's flight path, the Malaysian Airlines flight that was shot down by a missile, confirms that the pilot was instructed to fly at a lower altitude by the Kyiv Air Traffic Control Tower on its entry into Ukraine airspace. MH17 filed a flight plan requesting to fly at 35,000 feet through the Ukrainian airspace. This is close to the optimum altitude. However, an aircraft's altitude and flight is determined by air traffic control on the ground. Upon entering Ukrainian airspace, MH17 was instructed by Ukrainian air traffic control to fly at 33,000 feet. 33,000 feet is 1,000 feet above the restricted flight altitude in that area. The request of the Ukrainian air traffic control authorities was implemented. With regard to the MH17 flight path, Malaysian Airlines confirms that it followed the rules set by Eurocontrol and the International Civilian Aviation Authority. Referring to recent reported comments by officials from Eurocontrol, the body which approves European flight paths under ICAO rules, according to the Wall Street Journal, the official stated that some 400 commercial flights, including 150 international flights, crossed eastern Ukraine daily before the crash. Officials from Eurocontrol also stated that in the 2 days before the incident, 75 different airlines flew the same route as MH17. MH17's flight path was a busy major airway, like a highway in the sky. It followed a route which was set out by the International Aviation Authority, approved by Eurocontrol, and used by hundreds of other aircraft. It flew at an altitude set and deemed safe by local air traffic control, and it never strayed into restricted airspace, according to MAS, but that is refuted by recent evidence. As I was saying, it was told to descend a couple of thousand feet. The flight and its operators followed the rules, but on the ground, the rules of war were broken, and an unacceptable act of aggression, according to ICAO. It appears the MH17 was shot down, passengers and crews killed by a missile. The regular flight path, Chusadovsky writes, of MH17 and other international flights over a period of 10 days prior to July 17th, the day of the disaster, crossing Ukraine, eastern Ukraine in a southeasterly direction, is across the Sea of Azov. The flight path on July 17th was changed. The flight and its operators followed the rules, but on the ground, rules of war were broken, he writes. He also writes that Ukraine fighter jets were in a corridor reserved for commercial aircraft. He writes, it is worth noting that a Ukraine Sukhoi 25 fighter jet equipped with air-to-air R-60 missiles was detected within 5 to 10 kilometers of the Malaysian aircraft with an air corridor within an air corridor reserved for commercial aircraft. So he writes, what was the purpose of this Air Force deployment? Was the Ukraine fighter jet escorting the Malaysian aircraft in a northerly direction towards the war zone? And he writes that as a question. MH17 was diverted from the normal southeasterly route over the Sea of Azov to a path over Donetsk. Who ordered the flight path change? He writes, we call upon Malaysian Airlines to clarify its official statement. And there is corroborating information from Pepe Escobar, who you've often heard on KBOO with Per Fogering's program. He writes, here's the spin war verdict. The current Malaysia Airlines tragedy, the second in 4 months, is terrorism perpetrated by pro-Russian separatists armed by Russia, and Vladimir Putin is the main culprit. End of story. Anyone who believes otherwise, shut up. Why? Because the CIA said so. Because Hillary, we came, we saw, he died, Clinton said so. Because the bat blink crazy Samantha R2P Power said so, thundering at the UN, everything duly printed by the neocon-infested Washington Post. So this is a pretty good rant by Pepe Escobar. You can find that on Counterpunch. He writes, right off the bat, they were all lined up. And getting down to the nitty-gritty, he says, a simple search reveals that MH17 was in fact diverted 200 kilometers north from the usual flight path taken by Malaysia Airlines in previous days and plunged right into the middle of a war zone. Why? What sort of communication did they receive from Kyiv Air Control Tower? Kyiv has been mute about it. And further, in Pepe Escobar's article, he passes on tweets from a Spanish air traffic controller named Carlos, a man who has disappeared. And he put out tweets saying that the Boeing 777 was escorted by two Ukrainian fighter jets minutes before disappearing from radar. And he said, if the Kyiv authorities want to admit the truth, two fighter jets were flying very close a few minutes before the incident, but did not shoot down the airliner. As soon as Malaysia Airlines disappeared, the Kyiv military authority informed us of the shooting down. How did they know? And he tweeted, everything has been recorded on radar. For those who don't believe it, it was taken down by Kyiv. We know that here in traffic control and military air traffic control know it too. The Ministry of the Interior did know that there were fighter aircraft in the area. And he tweeted, the military confirmed that it was Ukraine, but has not known where the order came from. Escobar writes, Carlos' assessment is that the missile was fired by the Ukraine military under orders of the Ministry of Interior, not the Ministry of Defense. Security matters of the Ministry of the Interior happened to be under Andriy Paruby, who is closely working along U.S. neocons and Banderistan neo-Nazis on Maidan. Assuming Carlos is legit, he writes, the assessment makes sense. The Ukrainian military are divided between the Chocolate King President Petro Poroshenko, who would like a detente with Russia essentially to advance his shady business interests, and Saint Yulia Tymoshenko, who's on the record advocating genocide of ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. U.S. neocons and U.S. military advisors on the ground are proverbially hedging their bets, supporting both Poroshenko and Tymoshenko factors. And he asks, who profits? Cui bono? Only the terminally brain dead believe that shooting a passenger jet benefits the Federalists in eastern Ukraine, not to mention the Kremlin. As for Kyiv, they'd have the means, the motive, and the window of opportunity to pull it off, especially after Kyiv's military, Kyiv's militias have been effectively routed and were in retreat in the Donbas region, and after Kyiv remained dead set on attacking and bombing the population of eastern Ukraine, even from above. No wonder the Federalists had to defend themselves, he writes. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. The number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, and Harry's on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The last caller mentioned about the Senate vote 100-0.
Yeah.
But he failed to mention that we have a very large, a very powerful Jewish lobby. And they threatened the senators for election and other things if you don't vote our way. The next is you mentioned about the about Ukraine. It could all be put to stop if Putin would be more powerful and say, no fly zone, all of Ukraine. The whole Ukraine is a no fly zone, and we're going to enforce it. That would stop the war immediately.
I'm concerned about this situation in Ukraine, just how much the U.S. intends to escalate it. And I would say that the U.S. is driving the escalation of the situation. Certainly, you can't afford to go to war with a nuclear power.
Yeah, Russia is a nuclear power. They need to put a no-fly zone over Ukraine, and that would end it all. Next is, do you have any reports on Afghanistan? I know they had an election 2 weeks ago, but no one seems to know who won or what happened or who's going to take control, if Karzai is still there or what.
Do have information on Afghanistan. Let's see, there was something on antiwar.com about that. Let's see. The election, last I heard, was being contested by the loser.
So there was a winner? Oh, they should let us know.
Well, yeah, if there's a winner, I mean, to frame the whole thing, I mean, to have an election under occupation is to have a bogus election. I mean, when you've got a gun pointing at you, it really doesn't matter in terms of your own personal choice what you say. I mean, if I walk into your house and put a gun to your head and say, "Can I live here?" You know what the right answer is going to be, and then I can say, "Oh, he volunteered to allow me to live there." Well, that's not how that works under coercion. I mean, I guess I'm making an excuse here. What I'm saying is I don't give a damn what the election results were because the country is lousy with U.S. troops.
Yes, but I remember the last election they had with Karzai and how it was just, election fraud and everything that was going on. It's just like, how can they have a free election when, like you mentioned, they have a gun out their head?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all my last question. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your call. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Sam's on the air.
Hey, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
So I heard talk about the parties and the duopoly of the Republicans and Democrats, and I'm waiting to hear some chatter about the after party.
The after party? The all-night party?
Have you heard about that?
No.
So the kids that started the Occupy Wall Street in New York City have formed a political party. They call it the After Party.
All right.
You can Google it. They have a manifesto that says, we've been taken in, we're not being represented, blah, 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 blah. And they're going to run local candidates in local elections. And they already had an event in Detroit. They had a national call and everybody showed up to do the work that the local people wanted done.
Okay.
And I'm not hearing anything about it.
Okay, well, let's see. I'm using a search engine to look for the after party. Not finding it that way, but a little more searching will probably dig it up. So thanks for that information. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned because we have more of the Incomparable Radio Zine coming up. And if you'd like to hear this program again or any portion of it, or indeed many and most of KBOO programs, can be found at kboo.fm. Usually about 15 minutes after you go off air, you can get the whole program on the podcast. So you can do the time warp again and hear whatever program you like. KBOO.FM, do contribute to your community radio station, please. And so we go out to you via the terrestrial transmitter and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Listen to The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of each month at 11:30 a.m. The Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Tune in Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear Rose City Native Radio with your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Rose City Native Radio is a new public affairs program bringing you local and national Native issues and Native contemporary music. You can find more information about the show online at kboo.fm or find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio.
Coming up this morning at 11 on Between the Covers, Cliff Ashpaw talks about his debut novella, Josh's Wall, a coming-of-age story about a boy who wakes up with amnesia and encounters a world of bullies, liars, and strangers. And then at 11:30, The Film Show features drive-in theaters. They still exist in Oregon. Find out about the 99W Drive-In in Newburgh, the Northwest Film Center's top-down rooftop cinema, as well as the drive-in at Zidell Yards. Also, we'll hear from Portland Film Fest director Josh Leek about highlights of next month's 2014 festival. That is all coming up this morning on Portland on KBOO. We do have, actually, Air Cascadia is taking off today, so we have an hour-long Flashpoints, and that is going to be starting up next. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. Now a current member... you can become one, excuse me, if you are not now a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Once again, Air Cascadia is off today, so let's get right to Flashpoints on KBOO.